Twitch is telling us that running their platform is too expensive to pay streamers, and they're changing the amount of money earned from subscriptions. So how does this affect you if you are a streamer? And if not, what does this change for you if you have a favorite streamer? Well, today we're breaking down exactly that. I'm Devin Nash. I run an agency called Novo. I'm obsessed with understanding marketing and attention in the new media world. Thank you so much for joining me. There's a real story here nobody is talking about, and there's a lot to break down. We're going to get started right away. So this came out in a blog post that was at a weird time this morning, about 3 a.m., and I'm not going to read like the whole thing. It's going to take too much time. We're just going to go through what's important. So to start off, they kind of explain what the subscription situation is. For subscriptions, we use a baseline revenue share of 50-50 on net revenue for those earnings. The vast majority of Twitch streamers have had these terms of their agreement. So to set this up, it's important to understand that there are two types of subscription-based contracts on Twitch effectively, okay? There is a 70-30 split, which was a premium split, and there is a 50-50 split. So if you are a an average partner or affiliate, which means that you've just like connected with Twitch at some level, you have a 50-50 split. So I've done some videos about this, and 50% is actually quite high. But notably, what we're going to be discussing today is these 70-30 splits and these premium splits. And again, I'm going to be telling you kind of the real story behind this after we break it down and what's going on. 70-30 used to be a pretty substantial amount of the total Twitch broadcasters. In 2018, it actually accounted for 21% of contracts, which is like pretty crazy. So about 21% of broadcasters, about one in five people had a 70-30 contract or a premium contract of some kind. And these days, that's actually changed quite a bit. So the reason why that's important is because this 21% that's still that had those contracts in 2018, however many people still have those contracts now, this is who this is addressing. So as for the people that have the 50% split, I mean, they're already on a 50% split and nothing is going to change for them here. That is already an enormous amount of to take away from a broadcaster. So, okay, so we're talking about 70-30 splits. So they're using this baseline revenue. They're basically saying that these premium subscription deals, the 70-30 deals, did exist, but they didn't really talk about them, which is true. You to get one, you had to know like a partnership manager, or you had to be a large enough streamer that you got offered one. There used to be a rule in place around 2019, 2020, where if you had over 500 active subscribers, you would be offered a 70-30 deal. So this was a good amount of the website that had this. And now they've announced that they are changing the policy about how they do revenue splits for 70-30 contracts. So in this paragraph, we start to get into kind of the meat of this issue, where they say that if you are earning above $100,000 in total subscription revenue and only subscription revenue, then you are going to be on a 50-50 split after that 100K. So the way to understand this is just, you can look at my, I made a Twitter thread about this and I tried to do this in pretty plain language where I said the top 500 creators will earn 29% less revenue per subscriber after reaching 100,000 per year. So why top 500 creators? Well, because this actually doesn't apply to that many creators. In order to, so for everyone that is not one of the top 500 creators, this particular change probably won't affect you at all. I'm going to tell you about something that does affect you in a minute. But this particular change will not affect you because most people do not have the sufficient number of subscribers to equal $100,000 a year. The specific math on this is that if you are a person earning $100,000 a year, that means you have to have about 2,380 subscribers because that's you just multiply to get $8,333 per month or $100,000 a year. And you would need about 2,380 consistent monthly subscribers to be affected by this change. Every subscriber after that 2,380, so the 2,380 first subscriber, and then so on, would then earn you 29% less revenue because you'd be on a 50-50 split instead of a 70-30 split. Now, for the top 500 creators, that's a sufficient number. And for some people, they're going to be losing a lot of money off of that. So the reason why we know that is because we can go and there's currently a couple of websites that track subscribers pretty reliably. And you can see that the top 600 is where we get that 2380 number from. So we can estimate that about 600 creators total are going to be in this category to be start losing revenue from this. Basically, all of the top creators, the top 1%. But because foreign countries pay less for subs, it's actually a number that's a little bit less than this. So there's going to be a lot of like people in here that are not American or not Central European, so they're not going to have the same number of subscribers that are actually paying the full amount of money. They're going to be paying less. And so for that reason, we just round it off to an easy 500 creators. Might be a little bit more, might be a little bit less, but that's the way to understand it. Okay, so for some people, this is going to be a pretty substantial drop in revenue. There are several broadcasters that earn $1 million a year off of subscriptions alone. And for those broadcasters, this is representing a $290,000 a year or about $300,000 a year drop in total revenue. Like, that's a pretty sufficient number for some of these top broadcasters. This in of itself, though, like, okay, great. Like, the 1% are getting slightly less richer. Why do I care? Not really that big of a deal, right? But that's not where this post ends. This post kind of gets a little bit crazier as we go through this. So let's keep going, and we'll start getting into like some of the weird stuff that's in this post that kind of is alarming for the future of the website. So for approximately 90% of streamers on standard agreements and premium subscription terms, the change will not affect them. Super true, right? So for all the people that are on standard agreements, this will not affect them. It will only affect the people on 70/30, and only then the people on 70/30 have earned $100,000 or more. But this isn't actually telling the whole story. The whole story kind of begins here, where it's like, okay, so why have we actually reduced the amount of money that these top 1% streamers are earning? Well, they try to explain that. When we first established a 50-50 revenue share split, it was to signal that we're in this together. That's kind of a great PR thing to say, and it's funny because like 50% represents one of the highest percentage splits of any platform. Like OnlyFans and Fansly, for example, take 20%. Of subscriber revenue, right? Like, so like you'd be hard pressed to find a website that actually takes 50%. And then there's also like platforms like Patreon, for example, take like 8-12% versus the 50% that Twitch purports to take. And they're going to try to justify that here. So already I would say that 50% is pretty damn unfair. But they're going to try to tell you here why 70/30 is not a thing. So at the time of this posting, more than 22,000 of you have weighed into our user voice asking us to move all streamers to 70/30 and pay streamers faster. So a lot of people want 70/30. YouTube currently for subscriptions offers 70% on all memberships and everything. And then they offer a pretty competitive ad rate that's that Twitch is trying to match. Now, they start off by saying, okay, we're in the middle of rolling out the largest change to payouts in years by cutting the payout threshold in half to $50. This is an important step. So this does get people money faster because previously the threshold was $100, meaning that you had to earn $100 on Twitch before they actually pay you. But it's important to understand that Twitch is kind of a little bit duplicitous in their wording here. They're kind of like justifying lowering the amount of money that top streamers are earning by saying we're paying streamers faster. But that's not how this works, right? They're not like the money is still the money. Like whether you earn $100 or $50, like you pay it out at $50, that's great. And that's a good step for smaller creators to get a small paycheck. But it doesn't, it's not a difference in the total revenue that they have to pay out, right? Like they're not actually giving more or less money out here. So this is kind of a weird thing to say. And then they kind of go into like how there is a increase in streamer revenue, which is true. The streamers are earning more money than they did before, and that's good. And then they talk about Prime subs, where Prime subs, which are basically subscriptions. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to one streamer for free. Represent, they estimate, about 15% of extra revenue, bringing the number to 65% by their approximation. There's no real way to confirm this, and it's going to be different for every streamer. Some it's going to be less. So this is kind of a weird thing here too. And now we're going to get into like the real kind of crazy stuff. So they justify at the end that the reason why they need to do this is because the cost of running Twitch is high. And the numbers they use, they say using the published rates from Amazon Web Services Interactive Video Service. First of all, what's that? For people that don't know, Amazon IVS is basically the core technology they pulled out of Twitch when they bought it. And the way to understand it is basically anybody can run Twitch. Anybody can start up a Twitch if they can afford to do so through AWS. It's just kind of like a plug and play Twitch product that's used by a lot of bigger corporations and stuff like that to do presentations and such or run live streaming stuff. So they're saying that using the published rates from Amazon Web Services, live video costs 100 for CC, for 100 people, CCU meaning 100 viewers, watching a streamer who streams 200 hours a month is more than $1,000 per month. So this is an absolutely bizarre thing to say for so many reasons. And this is something that I highlight in my Twitter thread, that they are basically saying the amount that we charge customers is the amount that we have to pay as Twitch to keep our services running. But that's completely disingenuous, okay? And I'll show you why. So the example that I use in Twitter, and I'll kind of expand on this example here, is let's say that you are Smoothie King. You are the king of making smoothies, okay? And your smoothies cost $10. To buy a smoothie from Smoothie King, it's going to cost $10, okay? But anybody with any kind of basic business sense would know that it doesn't cost Smoothie King, the company, $10 to actually produce and that smoothie. That's just what they're selling it for, right? They're buying the strawberry paste from Strawberry King for 30 cents per unit, right? And then they're buying the bananas from Banana Queen. It'd be a good OnlyFans name. For 40 cents per right unit and such that. And the end cost for Smoothie King to produce a smoothie, I just can't spell this today, might be, let's say, like $2. Then you've got an 80% margin and you're making $8 per smoothie. And that's how business works. If business didn't work that way, there wouldn't be business. So what Twitch is trying to say here is that using the customer minimums, and minimums are always going to cost more, like the bulk deals are always going to be more favorable, right? So they're using like the worst numbers possible to try to explain that it's expensive to run Twitch, but they own the servers. Amazon owns the servers. So there is some incremental cost in running Twitch. I don't know what it is. I mean, you've got like, there's a power cost, there's an energy cost, there's depreciation on the servers, but it's minimal compared to what they're advertising. They're basically saying that for 200 hours a month, it's going to cost them $1,000, but that's what they charge their customers. So the actual cost is an absolute fraction of that. This is an entirely disingenuous thing to say, right? And you know, they justify this by saying, to fully answer the question of why not 70-30, ignoring the high cost of delivering the Twitch service would have meant giving you an incomplete answer. And it's like, dude, the real reason why they can't make this work is actually because of how they monetize the website, and we're going to get into that now. But before we actually talk about that, it's also notable that they use the 200-hour-a-month thing here. 200 hours a month is 50 hours a week of streaming. So, like, very few people that are streaming to 100 viewers are streaming 200 hours a month. There are some, but most people that can put that kind of time in are full-time broadcasters. And the number of full-time broadcasters is a fraction of the number of people that have 100 concurrent users, right? There's about 65,000-ish partners on Twitch. Not all those people are active, and not all those people even have 100 CCUs. So we're not like what's, it's not as expensive as it seems. This whole thing is like a really weird way to say that, like, oh, it's like really expensive to run our website. And like, it's hard for us to keep the lights on, so we're going to pass that cost onto you, the customer, which is always a bad thing to communicate in business, okay? So what's the real reason why this isn't working? That's like what you really need to know. And I'm also going to tell you right now, one of the real stories here that's not being told is that the 70-30 split was issued out to approximately 20% of the total broadcasters on Twitch at one time. Right. So there was a custom contract. This means like things that are, this is 2018. This is like custom as means like negotiated at 70-30 plus, like there's probably some cash involved. Premium contract, the 15% of would just refer to like a 70-30 contract. I was on a premium contract for a long time. I believe I still might be as a Twitch partner, earning 70% of revenue. The real story here is that they're actually phasing this out. So this is a 2018 data when there was public API data. And that's why Commander Root was able to pull it. But since then, it's estimated that there's less than 5% of contracts that are still on 70-30. And most of those contracts are kind of just waiting for the Twitch has been instructed to not issue contracts out for 70-30 anymore. So the real story here is that while it is true that streamers have increased their revenue, which was something that I believe they said above, we had already covered it, that there is some increase in revenue happening from like ad incentive programs and things like that. What they're not telling you is that a huge percentage of broadcasters are no longer able to even get the 70-30 contracts. And why that's important is that is that actually means that those broadcasters have already suffered a 29% decrease in total revenue. So many broadcasters can no longer get the 70-30 contracts. These are reserved for top streamers, top 300-plus broadcasters, representing a 29% loss in total revenue for thousands of major creators. If you had a 70-30 deal before as a Twitch partner, you are not going to get one now unless you're a top broadcaster. And even then, it's going to be dependent on a lot more negotiation and having a lot better connections. So very few people will actually be able to get these 70-30 contracts going forward. That's the thing they're not telling you. And for those of you, those top streamers that do get those contracts, now their revenue is being further limited. So now they are actually getting 29% less revenue. And again, that 30% is quite a bit for some of these top broadcasters that earn a lot of money. Like enough that, like, again, if you're earning $1 million a year off of subscriptions, it's costing you $300K. That's a sufficient enough loss that you might consider like driving some of your users to Patreon or Diversified in some other way. That's a pretty massive loss, and top broadcasters should be pissed, and a lot of them are. Here's a thing from Quinn69. If you're going to, who's one of the people who would be affected by this, if you're going to make a change that just says we take more money, at least give us maximum bitrate or something, YouTube unironically lets you stream at 6.3x quality, and now they also have better splits. So 100% true. Like, Quinn definitely stands to have to lose something from this, because he has 2,308, way more than 2,300 subs. So, yeah, it's just like a weird thing, right? Like, they're saying we have driven an increase of 27% more streamer revenue, but at the same time, they're taking away 30% of streamer revenue by not offering 70-30 contracts. And then they're taking a further 30% right from the people that from the top broadcasters. So that's like the real story here that isn't being told. Furthermore, contracted streamers are not eligible for a lot of these new ad incentive programs. Energy Lulu posted this here that says that you failed to mention that streamers contracted with Twitch aren't eligible for the ad incentive program. Twitch contracts offer laughable money to their streamers now. No wonder everybody's going to YouTube. And then there's a further clarification. There's a wait, contracted streamers can't even take part of the incentive. The ad incentive program is like the thing that Twitch is offering cash bonuses for people that run more ads. They claim to, and they can help them make up funds they lost. Yes, contracted streamers don't get access to the program. I actually haven't been able to confirm this, but I've spoken to several contracted streamers who are indeed not in the program. I've also spoken to a few in other regions that are not United States that actually are eligible for the ad incentive program. So my guess is that there's some percentage of these top broadcasters that are not eligible and they're losing money because of it. So that's pretty crazy too. But why is this happening? What's like the real story here? Like, why is it that Twitch is really doing this? And what are they really saying through this like crazy like IVS thing? So to understand this, it's important to understand how Twitch makes money. And we're going to simplify it into three ways. So there's media broadcast deals, called media rights deals. There's ads, and there's subs. Most people think that Twitch makes a substantial amount of money off of subscriptions. But subscriptions actually don't make Twitch that much money. So let's just assume everything's on a 50-50 split, right? Twitch earns $2.50 for every subscription, which might seem pretty good because there's people subscribing all the time and some people have tens of thousands of subscribers. But the problem with subscriptions is twofold. Number one, subscriptions are always a flat amount of revenue. Twitch cannot increase this amount. Only the number of subscribers, which they can't directly control. And number two, subs don't see ads. And we're going to get into why that's important in a second. So subscriptions are always a flat amount of revenue. So if you have 100 subs, right, Twitch is earning $2.50 from each sub, and they only make more money if you get more subs. But the bigger problem is that subs don't see ads, and the flat amount of revenue, which the $2.50, there's obviously two tier two and tier three subs and such where they make a little bit more, but it's still a flat amount. Flat amount is what you're going to want to focus on here. Because it's a flat amount, Twitch can't actually increase that. But ads are dynamically sold, meaning I can sell an ad to a brand for, there's a CPM, something we talk about a lot on this channel. We'll say $30 CPM. That means per 1,000 people that watch costs $30. But I can also sell an ad to a brand for $60 or $5,000, right? Like the CPM is a potentially infinite. And this is why, if you understand how media works in the world of advertising, ads are always going to be favorable to subscriptions, because there are a lot of things you can do to increase the value of an ad. You can just sell better. You can convince a brand that you're worth more. You can further target by category. You can get more information about your customer. You can approach different brands who are willing to pay more, like mobile game companies or things like that. You can always increase the CPM of the ads that you rate, but you sell, but you can never increase the flat amount that you're making off of subscriptions. And for this reason, Twitch can't rely on subscriptions to be able to make real meaningful money off the website. They have to have an ads program. But the problem with the Twitch ads program is that Twitch ads aren't actually targeted or really anything that a brand would essentially want. So if I, at Novo, what we do is we go and we talk to brands, and brands say, hey, we've got X number of dollars to spend. What's a good way for us to do it? And we're going to give them that answer based on really good data, intelligent targeting, and such. So oftentimes why people spend money with us is because we are super, super good at telling them exactly who their customer is going to be and where they're going to be and what they're going to buy and at what percentage. And we do that by running ads on websites that are generally not Twitch, because the problem with Twitch is that Twitch has a general idea of what its user base is, mostly male, 18 to 34 gamers, right? But they don't actually target these ads anywhere, whereas YouTube, Meta, Instagram, all of these websites have exact customer data. So if I wanted to target 36 to 40-year-old men who own expensive cars and buy Starbucks on a regular basis and are interested in coffee, I could get a reliable audience built for me automatically through something like Facebook ads, through Meta ads, or YouTube ads. The specific kind of targeting you can do on those ads is so specific that there has been congressional hearings about the information that these companies collect. Nonetheless, that advertising is very effective to buy, because the more targeted you can get to your customer, the more you are likely to sell them something because you know they already want it. So the more that you can target your customers, generally the more you can sell those ads for. Twitch's problem is that it doesn't really have a way of identifying or collecting data on its user base. So Amazon has that to some extent, but the problem is that if you log into Twitch, like all you're really telling them is, I think your email, like you're making an account name, and you're not even telling them your age, which is why like Twitch can only like estimate that data based on like some of the third parties that they work with, like Nielsen, who like estimates that data and such, surveys, control groups, and things like that. They can get a general idea of what their demographic is, but they can't help you target an ad. And for this reason, there is basically two types of ads that are sold in this world. There's programmatic ads, which is what something like YouTube does, where you can automatically buy an ad and you can target it and you can do the whole process. And there's white glove. And white glove means that somebody actually takes care of your ad and then runs it for you. All of Twitch advertising as of the time of this recording is white glove. There are no programmatic ads. So a brand can't come in, can't specify its audience, and can't spend. And for that reason, it drives CPMs down. Twitch's sales team will try to convince you that buying ads there is a more premium experience because they do have that targeting. And there's a whole sales process we could go through that's going to be really boring for this video to talk about that. But the real truth of it is that these ads are less targetable than websites like Facebook and websites like YouTube. And this is a huge vulnerability for Twitch that Twitch has known about for years, that building a custom ad system to allow brands to be able to buy here would have been massively beneficial, and it would have helped broadcasters because broadcasters would earn more money off of the ads that are being sold. But as a result, you may have noticed on Twitch that your ad experience is subpar. You go onto a stream, you get a pre-roll ad, and then you are watching the stream, and just at the moment that your favorite gamer is going to clutch that victory, brought to you by blah, like there's this 30 million ads that show up. And so the reason why that is happening is because Twitch can't sell these high CPM ads because they can't target, so they have to rely on buying selling a ton of cheap dog shit ads to companies so that those companies, so that's why you're seeing such a quantity of ads, because if Twitch can't make money off of the quality of an ad, they have to increase the quantity to become profitable. And that's why you see so many of these ads. So the whole system is kind of busted because Twitch never bothered to actually produce a really reliable ad system, okay? And by the way, as a quick note, you are 26 minutes into a Devin Nash video. It is time for the secret call. If you're here, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. Please leave a comment and let me know that you're here. I always love seeing them. And yeah, thanks for being a part of this. This is kind of awesome. It's really crazy that people are interested in this stuff. You're here for deep dive stuff and just appreciate you coming out. So thanks for the 26 minutes. All right. So building this system and looking at this, you can kind of understand what the real story here is, right? Twitch isn't relying on money from subscriptions. It's a revenue driver. Like it's like something they're going to look at. But really, Prime subscriptions are not bringing any kind of substantial revenue. They're probably costing the company because they're doubly bad. Because now, remember when I said that subs can't see ads? Now you understand why that's important. We can sell dynamic ads and we can sell them for greater and greater CPMs, but if our subscribers don't see them, we've shot ourselves in the foot, right? We've made ourselves into a business model that doesn't flywheel, doesn't make sense. Every subscriber we add is one more person that can't watch ads. So we hope that there aren't too many subscribers, because if there are, then there's nobody's going to be seeing ads, and now our actual business model that's going to drive revenue for us is broken. So that doesn't mean that Twitch like is going to actively decentivize subscriptions, because they still make a sufficient amount of revenue off of it, but they are going to do moves like this where they try to make the splits more favorable. And what they aren't going to do is give 70-30 to broadcasters, because they are incentivized to keep that split as high as possible, because if they don't, they lose all of the money off of those subs, because those subs don't return that revenue in ads. And basically, so then you would say, okay, well, why doesn't Twitch just remove the ability for subs to see ads? And the reason for that is because Twitch has to have a competitive offer to make you subscribe on the website at all. That's a huge incentive for you to subscribe. And like, just keep in mind, Twitch is competing with Patreon constantly for streamers not saying, hey, guys, it costs me 50% of my total take home to have you subscribe on Twitch. Please go to patreon.com/Devin Nash. It's a real place, by the way. And give me and Patreon takes 8% for me, right? So one of the moves that I did when I stopped broadcasting was I moved all of the people that I had subscribed on Twitch over to Patreon. Well, I make way more money because I take home 92% of the revenue instead of 50%. So a lot of people think that it's just what you earn that makes you successful in business, but that's not entirely true, right? Like, I moved my whole business from California to Texas because I didn't want to pay 10 to 12% per year in state tax. And that actually saves you a lot of money. That's one of every $10 that I'm saving. A lot of people think about business and being successful as like, if I take home more, I'm going to become wealthier. But a lot of business is actually just controlling for what you lose. And by the way, investing is like very similar. So like, this is why investing in the S&P 500, investing in the like total market indexes over time is always superior to anything else. Because like, if you lose $50, right? If a stock goes down $50, you have to make $100 back to actually get back. You have to make $50 back, and then another $50, $100 total to get north of $0, right? So it's always more expensive to lose money than it is to actually keep money. You don't want that. That's like real good business people, they focus on not losing money. So a lot of broadcasters don't realize that right now it would probably be superior for them to at least have a Patreon, diversify your audience over to Patreon or to lower percentages or like Fansly or OnlyFans or things like that. put them somewhere else where the percentage that you're getting is much greater than where you are. And I think one of the only things that's kind of keeping Twitch in the running here is sort of laziness, because but that might change now because YouTube is offering 70% to its creators because, hey, they have programmatic ads, so they can both pay their creators what they're worth and they can also keep the lights on, unlike Twitch. So now I think more broadcasters are going to be listening to what I've been saying for 2 years now, which is, hey, turn your head over to YouTube. YouTube's offering 70%, and they're competitive with Twitch. So Twitch can't remove the ability for subs to see ads, because like that's literally one of the only reasons to sub at all. The ads are so annoying that you force subscriptions out of people just to get just to get them to stop watching them. A lot of people don't realize also the Twitch Turbo service just allows you to not see ads on the website at all. I think it's like $15 a month. And for power users of Twitch, that's a great option. But again, it's a flat amount, so Twitch can't really rely on it. So Twitch is kind of in a bind here, and a lot of industry experts have been commenting on this change as a sign that Twitch is sort of in dire straits trying to figure out how to justify to Amazon their continued existence, but simultaneously make enough money. Now, the answer is in advertising, and Twitch recently updated their terms so that they now offer a revenue split to creators, and I thought that that was one of the most significant changes for the positive that Twitch has ever done, because it will represent streamers making more money on average. But if Twitch can't solve these this programmatic ads problem on the back end, they are not going to have a business, because like YouTube is just going to blow them out of the water with superior targeting from the data that Google has, and more broadcasters will realize that giving Twitch a 50% split for the right to exist on their platform doesn't make sense, especially in the context of all the other things on the website that are happening, right? The lack of discovery, which YouTube fixes through programmatic discovery, a very similar system to their ads. Their discovery just puts you on the website and shows it, whereas on Twitch, the only real way to be discovered is to get more viewers. The only way to get more viewers is to get discovered. And so again, business cycle shooting them in the foot. What we're seeing is just like years and years of these kind of bad business decisions that are coming to catch up with Twitch and are resulting in Twitch having a really hard time just continuing to exist in the way that it is. Seeing if I left everything out, I don't think so. I leave this off and I kind of just say, hey, punishing streamers kind of feels bad, even if it's just the top 1%, because they can't get their ad program together. And streamers should kind of think about using other services, right? Like diversifying on different services, both in terms of where you actually stream, of maybe not accepting partnership contracts and affiliate contracts because it's a 50-50 split anyway, whether you're a partner or not. And instead, multi-streaming to these places where you can better monetize and perhaps get more viewership. I have a video coming out soon about multi-streaming, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, it's a worrying trend. I wanted to kind of cover this because I think a lot of people didn't figure how this would affect them and don't realize like kind of what this is about, and that this is just, this whole thing is like kind of a commentary on Twitch's ecosystem and some of this just how decisions are being made, and that the real story here is was notable in this tweet. It's important to mention that they aren't giving out 70-30 contracts at all anymore for lots of small creators. This was how they were finally able to live. And without that, it is a giant FU. I agree. Yeah. It's much harder to make make a living off a website that's charging you for the highest splits possible out of any platform. So if you enjoyed this video, I wouldn't ask you for anything from you. Go check, just subscribe. And thank you very much for coming out. Let me know what you think, either on my Twitter or in the YouTube comments. And thanks for being a part of this community, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.